Good to see you tonight. Just can't wait to get out and see real people again, to see who has the privilege of getting the front row. Different ones tonight, but good to have you. Welcome back to Hebron. We come to the house of God to worship Him. And we do so as we turn to the hymn 304. We are never weary of the grand old song, Glory to God, Hallelujah. We can sing it loud as ever with our faith more strong, Glory to God, Hallelujah. We keep our seats to sing. Sorry for any confusion. They must have thought we'll sing without the organ and the piano. But I was just saying, I assume that you know the chorus when I didn't bring it up each time so quickly. I'm going to bow together in prayer. We are the people of the Lord tonight, and we have the right and the privilege to shout and sing, not maybe to shout out so much in these days or to sing so loudly, although you feel like doing that when you come to the Lord's house. But we have the right and the privilege. We're going by and by to the palace of a king. Glory to God, hallelujah. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank Thee that we're here again in God's house, the living to praise Thee. For many, we have had the experience of new birth, and we have been brought nigh to God through the blood of the Savior. We are washed and we are redeemed. And we are the children of the Most High. As many as received Him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. And Lord, we have received thee and we have believed on thee. And therefore we have that entitlement to be called your children. And the children of the Lord have the right to shout and sing. Father, our hearts are filled with praise for so many things. You have brought us through these past few months. You have brought the church through. Some we know struggled with health issues, battled with trials and a variety of troubles. But Lord, you brought us through thus far. We acknowledge that. And Lord, we thank thee that you have preserved the people of God in this house, and you have kept us by the power of God. And your hand has been upon us as individuals, as families, and in the wider context, the church family. I want to praise thee for that tonight. You maintained a ministry here. We thank thee for the Sunday school and the Bible class. We think of the children's meeting on a Tuesday night and the youth fellowship on the Friday. And all these things were able to happen even in lockdown, going out every week faithfully. And Lord, you kept these things and you preserved these parts of the ministry here. And you gave enablement to those who were looking after these aspects of God's work. And we know that they have been an encouragement to the children and the young people. Thank thee for so many that were able to participate, and even the children and the young people that learned the Word of God, the verses, the passages of Scripture, and recited and read the Bible over these days in a special effort. And Father, we thank thee that sinners were converted to Christ. And the devil maybe thought that he would stop the gospel through what was happening in the world. But Lord, you overruled, and the word of the gospel was still going forth privately and publicly, and sinners were still listening. And we thank thee for every conversion that has taken place during the past 3.5 months. And we say to God be the glory, great things he hath done. And so we can identify even with this opening hymn. We have the right to shout and sing. And Lord, we praise thee for all that Christ has meant to us in these days. The highest sense of our joy is in him, all that he is and all that he accomplished in our behalf as Redeemer and Mediator. We thank thee that he's here with his church tonight. He loves us with an everlasting love. We are the body of Christ. Thou art the great King and head of the church. And the head and the body cannot be severed. We thank thee that there is a union there that cannot be broken. And so therefore, where the body is, then the head must be, and where the head is, the body must be. And so Christ is here, and he's in the midst of this gathering, and we wish him so. We want the Lord to be central in everything that is done tonight. Bless each one that has come. Some, Lord, are in difficult times one way or another. We commit them to thee for special grace. Some here tonight are unconverted, they need to be saved. Lord, reach down your hand of salvation this night. Pluck them as a brand from the burning. Some are backslidden. They've got out of the way. They've turned into bypath meadows. Lord, we pray that you will reach them, that you will speak to them in the course of this service. And above everything, Lord, may our God be glorified and exalted. May much be made of Christ. May our hearts be drawn out afresh to him for Jesus' sake. Amen. We bid you welcome, and as you know, these meetings are going to be shorter. That's the advice that is given, but to the congregation meeting here, and not to overdo it, but I'm really glad to see you. We've missed you so much, and I know that you're glad to be here in the house of God. To those that still feel they can't come, or those that are not able to come due to ill health or distance, and you're tuning in tonight in sermon audio or on Facebook, welcome in the Savior's precious name. I'd like to thank you for, that's tonight's meeting. I'd like to thank you for sending in your tithes and offerings and your various gifts to the church for missionary causes and so forth. And I have an announcement to make. Many of you will remember our sister, Miss Dennison. And Miss Martha Dennison, who is the former, or was the former matron of the Whitfield College of the Bible, she passed away to be with Christ on Saturday past. She had turned 103 on the 20th of May. Now, her funeral is tomorrow, but because of the restrictions at funeral services, it's confined to the family, and it is planned to have a memorial service for her at a later point. She was the matron of the college when I went there in Lawrencetown all those years ago in 1981, and had been the matron 2 years prior to that when the college was in Cypress Avenue in Belfast, and she'll be missed. Do remember to pray for the Holiday Bible Club that takes place from the 20th to the 24th of July, and then there'll be another one in August that we'll mention to you when the dates are confirmed. But each morning these will be going out for the children on our Mission Board Facebook page. We continue to pray for the intervention of God for those in frontline services who have served so well in our health service in these days. We remember the sick and the needy connected to the church, and those a little bit further afield that we love in the Lord and remember before Him. We pray for the missionaries at home and abroad, that the Lord will sustain them day by day. They're battling in the midst of these days in lockdown. They have similar situations as we have, and for some of them it's maybe even a bit more difficult because they are locked away with very few people that they see from week to week. We sing now the hymn 203, I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more, overwhelmed by guilt within, mercy I did implore.
Thank you.
Things are different, I know, these days in so many ways, coming into church, going out of church, and you'll be showing how to get out tonight. If you weren't here this morning, you'll be led out row by row. The stewards will indicate to you when your turn comes to go out. At least the weather so far is nice outside. You get to sit in different places in the church as well. You know the way you get into the habit and you come into church and you're always sitting kind of in the same place, the same section, and you get used to it. This has given you an opportunity, most of you, to sit somewhere different. And maybe you'll say, oh, I prefer this seat. And I would rather have this view of the preacher. He looks better on that side than he does on the side where I normally sit, if that's a possible thing. So you'll enjoy sitting in different places coming in these days. And this will continue for a while. We don't know how long. So get used to the differences, because they're likely going to be here for a few months to come. I'm going to read tonight from the 12th verse of Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. May God bless the reading of his word as we ended there at verse 17. And we're going to take the last two verses that we read as a text tonight, verses 16 and 17, as we think about the repentance that was too late. Let's pray and ask God's help. Always conscious, Lord, as we come to this part of the service, that we need thee, we need the Holy Spirit, who is the great teacher. We thank thee that you've given your word, and your word is unchangeable. We thank thee that this word stands forever, and it is the word of the living God that he gave men to write down on his behalf. And we praise thee that within the Bible, the 66 books, we have the whole mind of God revealed to mankind. We thank thee that every word has been given specially by divine inspiration. And Lord, we thank thee for this passage that we've read together. Make it a blessing to us. And as we come to your word to think about the one that we read about here, who repented, but his repentance was not real, his repentance was too late, may we learn from him. We pray that you'll speak to our hearts now, in Jesus' name. Amen. The grace of God and the gospel of grace oftentimes divides a family, separates them, the one from the other, in time and in eternity. One of the saddest realities in our families today is a home that is divided when it comes to Christ and the gospel. There are the sheep and the goats in the family. There are the wheat and the tares, the good fish and the bad fish, representing the just and the unjust. We all desire household salvation. There is no greater blessing outside our own conversion than to see others in our families wrought upon by God and brought to Christ in saving faith, and to have the whole family accounted for in Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And I know that's our desire and the longing, each one of us, as we think of the family. And we pray to this end. We pray that God will save each one that belongs to our homes. My heart's desire And my prayer unto God, and in the context, Paul is speaking about Israel. He's speaking about his people. In the previous chapter, he refers to his kinsmen. They are related to him only in a wider extent, but his heart's desire and his prayer to God for Israel was that they might be saved. And that's how we feel when it comes to the family unit. We want them to be converted to Christ. We want them to be saved. And we labor to achieve this purpose. We are to be like the converted demoniac of Gadara, who was told to go home and to tell his friends the great things that God had done for him. We want to be like Andrew, who brought his brother to Christ. It might be a brother, it might be a sister, it might be some other family member, but we certainly want to win them to the Savior. But sadly, our desires and our prayers and our labors are not yet fulfilled, not yet accomplished. Some of you are out of Christ, and you're held by many a snare. We cannot see you lost and alone. We want you over there. We want you in heaven. We want to know that it's well with your soul. The divided home. What a sad condition for any family. And so we should redouble our efforts to bring our families to Christ. We should redouble in our prayer life as we seek God on their behalf for their conversion. And we should resolve to do all that we can under God to be a witness to every family member. I was greatly struck by the story of Esau as it is recorded in this New Testament passage by the Apostle Paul here in Hebrews chapter 12. I thought of how he belonged to a divided family, Jacob and Esau, Cain and Abel, Absalom and Solomon, brothers who went in opposite directions. Esau was a man of the world, a man of the flesh, who lived for the flesh. He was dominated by appetite. He lacked judgment and he made a bad bargain. He married heathen wives. He lost the blessing. But most tragically, he died as a lost sinner and he went to hell. And yet here we have him in this passage of Scripture seeking for repentance. But it was a repentance that was too late. Is there such a thing? Is it possible for a person to go through life having all the privileges, as we shall come to see, of the gospel and the things of God, and then somewhere in the future seek repentance and seek restoration to God and not be able to find it? Yes. And we have the example here in Esau, and God wants us to learn from it tonight, the repentance that was too late. I want you to notice, first of all, his sin. What was the sin that he was guilty of? Well, we have it in verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Esau was born, you may say, within the pale of the church, the Old Testament church. He belonged to the ancient people of God, born into a Jewish family of the highest order. His grandfather was Abraham, his father was Isaac, and his brother was Jacob. How often those names stand side by side in the Scripture, the great patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham was the father of the faithful. He was the friend of God, and he was the founder of the Hebrew people. And so Esau enjoyed all the blessings of the covenant people of God. He was in the visible church. He was taught right. He was instructed in the ways of the Lord. He was brought up with the privileges of godly religion. And furthermore, as the eldest son, his was the birthright. And as such, he was privileged with being the prophet, the priest, and the king of his family. But he despised these sacred privileges, and he sold his birthright for one morsel of meat. So what exactly was his sin? You might read the Old Testament history in the book of Genesis, and you might say, well, the man was hungry, and the man needed to be fed, and what does it mean to sell his birthright? What does it mean to
to commit the sin that is identified here in Hebrews chapter 12, a man that was profane who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Well, my friends, he treated the privileges divinely given to him as the firstborn lightly, choosing rather those things of pleasure to gratify the flesh. Though he bore the outward character of the children of God and had a visible right to the blessing and inheritance, he gave them up. And what for? One morsel of meat. A profane person is one who despises, treats lightly, ignores sacred things. They refuse to see the value of God's truth, his blessings, and his threatenings. They reject Christ. They reject salvation. They reject the Bible. They reject the light that they are given. And they neglect the matters that belong to their soul. Esau did all this for one mess of pottage, as the Old Testament puts it, or for one morsel of bread, as we have it here in this passage of Scripture. In the New Testament, the Bible tells us that he did eat and drink and rose up and went away. And he did that as a man that was unconcerned about spiritual and eternal things. And there are many who are like him today. They are unconcerned, they are unmoved, and they're untroubled when it comes to the matters that really count, and that's the matters of your soul and eternity. They think not about their soul, their immortal soul. They think not about the blessings that God has given to them, and the gospel especially. They think not about a holy God before whom every day they walk and before whom one day they will stand. They think not about heaven and how to get there, and they think not about eternity. Their heart and their hope is set upon earthly enjoyments and satisfactions. It's the pleasures of the world that they live for. Many a man is still selling his soul for one morsel of meat. And that one morsel of meat might be some fleshly lust that is in your life. It might be some carnal practice of the flesh. It might be some sensual relationship that you're involved in. It might be some worldly pursuit or ambition. It might be a hobby or a pastime. It might be a pet sin. Cigarettes, alcohol, gambling, or some sexual activity. But you're selling your soul for it. It means more to you than God. It means more to you than eternal life, more to you than salvation itself. Did not the Lord ask the question, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I might say in passing that Esau is the kind of man that many men want to be in this world. He was a man of the outdoors, a successful hunter. He was beloved of his father. He was full of manly interests and occupations and pursuits. He was a proverb of courage and endurance and success. He was a strong, rugged man of the field and forest. He had an eye like an eagle, and his hand was full of skill, strength, and success. Esau's arrow never missed its target. He was the pride and the joy of his home at night, with his traps and snares and bows and arrows, burnt black with the sun, beaten hard and dry with the wind. He was a prince among men, a prime favorite with men, women, and children. He was looked up to. He was admired. He was respected, honored, and esteemed among his peers. But all the time, he was a heathen, a man who was more concerned with the body than with the soul, a profane person who neglected the grace of God. And therefore, we ought to take heed to this man. Esau despised his father's religion. He treated with contempt the blessings of the covenant. He was a Canaanite at heart, son of Isaac, grandson of Abraham as he was, yet there was nothing of the spiritual desires in this man that his father and grandfather had. All that Abraham and Isaac had passed through, all their trials and all their triumphs, all their attainments of faith and obedience meant nothing to Esau. Everything that Esau did, every step that he took, every choice that he made, took him further and further away from the God of his forefathers. This is especially seen in his marriages with the ungodly. No doubt he had hunted for years with the brothers of Judith and Bashemath. He had eaten and drunk and danced with the Hittite inhabitants of the land. He had sacrificed and sworn and vowed to their false gods of the fields. The ungodly crowd were his friends and his companions. And then came the day when, in open defiance of all decency and religion, he brought home two Canaanite wives to his father's camp. Oh, beware! A child born and brought up in a God-fearing home, enjoying the blessings of the covenant, blessed with the knowledge of God and salvation, and yet to grow up an outsider, a heathen man at heart, a godless individual despising everything as far as the blessings are concerned. Your birthright is the Sabbath day. It's the house of God. It's the family altar. It's the reading of the scriptures, the preaching of the gospel, cradled in all such blessings. But to turn away from these things because of some lust, some woman, some ungodly friendship, some unholy marriage, some pleasure of the world, some pay packet, some lustful desire, and to turn from your father's religion and profanely despise all that you have been taught, what a sin. And this is the sin of Esau. But not only do we have his sin, we have his second thought. He did have a second thought in verse 17. For you know how that afterward, you want to mark the word afterward, there's always an afterward. And more than often it is eternity. For every single person in this church building, for every single person in this world, in fact, there will always be an afterward in the great eternity of God. But sometimes that afterward is here in time upon the earth, like it was for Esau. His heart is smitten, his conscience is stirred. He seeks the blessing, he desires the inheritance, he desires to come to know the Lord. Esau has second thoughts. After all his sin, after all his breaking of his father and mother's hearts, after all his lustful life with the ungodly, after his defiant marriages with the Canaanites, after a life of debauchery and sin, he has a change of mind. The old man, his father, is blind. He's on his deathbed. He hasn't long to go. And now comes Esau seeking for the blessing. Afterward. Afterward. After his sinful ways, after his sensual desires, after his worldly life, he thinks that he can go to his father and receive the blessing. You know, it's good to have second thoughts. If you have lived a life similar to Esau, it's always good to come to a place where you have second thoughts. But sometimes, like in the case here, it's too late. If you've been neglecting the privileges and the blessings of the gospel, and you've been neglecting your upbringing, your family connections, the knowledge of the Bible, you've been rejecting, indeed, the understanding that you have between right and wrong, the light that God has committed to you, I trust that you will have second thoughts about what you're doing. And I pray that it will not be too late for you Don't think that you can lead a profane, godless life with attitudes of contempt against God and His ways after a life of sin and vile deeds and worldly, fleshly ways. You can just come to the Heavenly Father and obtain the blessing. You may. Very possible. And we've had many cases where it has been so. But more than often, you have sinned away the day of grace. Your afterward may likely be too late. You eat and you drink. You dress and you dance like Esau. And comes to the place where it may be too late to enter in. Need to be warned by this. This man had a second thought, but we see it was too late. Because we notice, thirdly, his shutting out. And we mark the word rejected here. You know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. His father refused to give him the blessing. His father could not give him the blessing because it had already been given to another. He could not change his mind or alter what had been done in conferring the blessing upon Jacob, an act which Almighty God approved of. Such a blessing had been forfeited many years previously when Esau had made his choice. And so we can say tonight that Esau crossed a boundary line. There is a line by us unseen that crosses every path, the hidden boundary between God's patience and His wrath. Esau had second thoughts, but it was too late, for he was rejected. Came a moment in his life when he saw the worth and the value of the blessing which he had despised and made light of. It was worth obtaining now. It was worth seeking and possessing, but he had left it too late. And the word rejected is forever written across his immortal soul. He was rejected by the Lord. What a solemn experience. We know that this will happen in eternity. For all men who reject the Savior, they'll be rejected someday. Souls who die without the mercy of God and the salvation of Christ will be summoned one day to the judgment bar. The great throne of God will be set up, the white throne that the Bible speaks about, and there they will stand before the majestic, dazzling splendor of the Judge of all the world as Jesus Christ takes His place upon that throne of judgment. And to the great company of lost souls that stand before Christ on that day, they will hear the words from the lips of the Savior, who is now the Judge. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Can you or I conceive such rejection as the rejection on that day when men will hear from the lips of the blessed Son of God, depart from me? There is a special warning to those who have had all the privileges of Esau, to those who have even great professions to make on that day. And you remember the account that the Lord gives in Matthew 7? As men come to stand before the Lord and they say, well, Lord, I've done this, that, and the other, prophesied or preached in your name, I've cast out devils in your name, done many wonderful works in your name. Do you remember what the Lord says? I never knew you. Depart from me. That's rejection. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Oh, the rejection on that solemn, solemn day of judgment. And so that certainly awaits all the unconverted. But Esau was rejected in time as well as in eternity. The rejection of our text was something that he experienced here on the earth. And you can cross a boundary of mercy. You can reject your blessings once too often. You can despise the heritage divinely given to you to your cost, and you'll be shut out. and shut out forever. And this word, rejected, will be written across your life and your immortal soul. I want you to notice his seeking. He found no place of repentance, though he sought it. Here's a man who sought for repentance, for a way back. He wanted a way of escape, a way of peace and pardon, a way of reconciliation and acceptance, but he found it not. Esau had taken an unalterable decision in his life. He had made a bargain. He had sold his blessing for a meager pot of stew. That's all it was. And God, in his righteous judgment, he saw it. And he ratified it. And it could not be reversed. There was no going back. Falling from the blessing and the privileges of the gospel, choosing rather the way of the flesh and sin, preferring the pleasures and the appetites of this life rather than the blessings of God and the heavenly inheritance, can be a decision that you make with that becomes irreversible and irrevocable. If you've been despising the God-given heritage, if you've been treating the spiritual privileges of the gospel with contempt, let me tell you that you will not always have such mean and low thoughts of these divine blessings. The time will come when you will seek and desire and yearn and pray and call out with all of your heart in order to obtain peace with God, but you will not find the place of repentance. When the day of grace is over, and sometimes that happens in this life, there'll be no door of repentance and salvation discovered or opened unto you. That's why you must seek Christ now and call upon him now and repent now. For be well assured, if you leave to a more convenient season in the future this matter, you may not find the door of mercy because it will be closed. Here's a man, I want you to see him tonight, and he's seeking. And finally, I want you to see his sorrow, because he is seeking with sorrow. He sought it carefully with tears. Ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. It is when the heart and the soul is melted, the spirit moved by the power of the Holy Ghost, the gentle voice of the speaking voice of the God of glory is heard, and the mind is enlightened to spiritual truth, the gospel presented and understood, it is then that we must seek repentance. It is then that we must exercise faith in Jesus Christ. In such seasons, we should mourn over our sins. We should indeed weep over our shortcomings, lament over our offenses against the Holy God. We are not to leave this important matter until it's too late, like Esau did. Esau wept. He wept bitter tears. He cried out, as the record tells us in the Old Testament, he hath taken away my blessing. And now he is seeking earnestly and seeking carefully and seeking tearfully. He said, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and he wept. But that blessing that one day could have been his was gone. And there was no return. And one day you will seek and search for the blessing of God and salvation. For the greatest blessing of all. But there's not a greater blessing in this life or the next than to be a possessor of God's salvation and to be right with him. To be able to say, it's well with me, it's well with my immortal soul. You will call, you will cry. Indeed, you will weep bitterly. Oh, the earnestness of a lost soul when it's too late. And that happens. It's happening right here in the experience of Esau, and it's happened countless times since. Sinners are crying. They're crying out in hell tonight. We could just listen to what they're saying. If we could just hear their cries tonight. They're crying for the blessing of God, but it's too late. Souls will cry in despair on the judgment day when they stand before the Lord, but it will be too late. And for all eternity, they shall weep and they shall wail and they shall seek for the blessing of God, but it will be too late. Here's a man tonight that we've read about in God's Word, and his repentance was too late. And you and I need to be warned about it. Do not save tonight. Maybe just now you're identifying, not in every detail, but somewhat with Esau. Your past life is more like his was when he was here upon the earth. It's lived for self. It's lived for the flesh. It's lived for the world. You're identifying with that right now. You need to stop and think. God has given to you so many privileges, so many blessings in the gospel, in the things of God. Don't turn away from them tonight. And don't go on as Esau did. And don't reject the blessing of Almighty God. But come, come and receive Christ as your Savior. And on this first Lord's Day, when we're back in the house of God, make your peace with Him and get right with Christ. Let us pray. Our Father, we know we're to learn from Thee, and we're certainly to learn from Esau this repentance that was too late. We know that we are to seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He is near. There came that moment in Esau's experience when God was not found and God was not near, and the blessing could not be obtained, though he sought it carefully with tears. And Lord, we know that it is likewise for us in our day. Things have not changed at all. Now, we're such a loving and merciful God. You've spared us. You've brought us through even the crisis of the past 3.5 months. You've kept the congregation until now, and that includes the unconverted, those that are sitting in this meeting and listening in on sermon audio or Facebook. You've kept them until now. And surely that's a great mercy. You've preserved their lives, and Lord, over the years they have been given many, many privileges. We pray that they'll not turn away from it again. Surely Thou hast been speaking in these days. You've been moving in hearts, and you've been bringing conviction. And Lord, may that deepen and intensify until sinners do seek the Lord while He may be found, and may they get right with God tonight. Lord, speak as this preacher's voice is silent. We pray that the Holy Ghost will speak on and bring true conviction of sin and bring true repentance from sin and true faith in Jesus Christ as Redeemer. Bless Your word and bless the congregation here this evening for Jesus' sake. Amen. We leave the message with you. We have to keep our distance, but if anyone is concerned about their soul, we can still keep our distance and talk to you. But don't go away without the Savior. Or give us a call and we'll be pleased to come and see you. You can come back to the church later on. But do get right with God tonight and seek Christ for Jesus' sake. You'll be told now how you can leave the building and leave it safely. Thank you very much.